Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Absolutely no fun is going to be had today on the podcast with JoJo Mason.
No.
It's always God, just no. Serious crap.
Well, that's because we're very serious people, Shiloh.
That's right.
We don't like to joke around here. It's never. Business and business only, baby. That's how we business. Make the Benjamins.
I watch the Bloomberg the Bloomberg channel 24/7 at my house. That's
right. We are only focused on dollar bills and making moves, right? Is that what they say? I don't know.
I love it.
I don't have either of those.
No, but when you get some, you let me know, okay? When you get either,
bro, I'm gonna let you know how I got it, so we can make some of that together, player.
All right, so listen, congratulations. You have a top five song right now with Broken Umbrella. What? Yeah, it's top five. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, maybe number one, maybe not. I mean, you are up against, let's see, Sam Hunt. I think you've got a guy by the name of Morgan Wallen ahead of you. I mean, that's pretty good company, though. When you look at a screenshot of the top five, you're in with those guys.
Shiloh, the fact that I'm even grouped in with guys that at that level is crazy to me. It's freaking crazy to me as it is, bro. What the heck? You know, man, I had a conversation with a friend of mine over last week, and they said to me, this is, you gotta know, this person is the last person to ever, like, say, one of my best friends, ever say nothing about my career. It's always just, when we hang out, it's like, we always just have a good time, right? We don't talk about business, we don't talk about work, we don't talk about politics, we just go and we have fun. And he says to me, man, he's like, I've been going through it, and every day I've been starting my day off listening to freaking Broken Umbrella, and somehow it's just changed my mood. And for me, man, like, that, the top five, the Morgan Wallen, like, all that is insane. And the fact that I can even say that, that's crazy. But for me, the most important thing, man, is that I can have my music has that kind of impact, right? And I know music that has the impact on me is so important to me that the fact that I get to be that for somebody else is man, I need all of that energy.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's fantastic, and that's such a good song. And you know, it's tough now because you kind of revamped a little of your team, right? Like, you have a little bit of a different team around
I did,
you.
Yeah, and I did.
They're going to expect it now. Like, this is like, talk about easing into things. Like now what?
I just keep doing me, right? Like, and that's the thing I love about it, man. You know this. I just try to keep getting a little bit better every time we put something new out. And I like to grow. I like to evolve. I like to try new things. So who knows what's next? You know, I don't know. But you're right. They're probably sitting there like, okay, JoJo. So now what?
Now what? All right. So I was concerned when they set this interview up because I thought there'd be nothing left of you by time the interview came around. Because man, you are dropping the pounds. We talked about this last time. How's that going? Are you still making all your own snacks and doing all the hardcore stuff? Like, how you doing?
Shiloh, I dropped 45 pounds from, was it September, October, November. And then I got back from the CCMAs. I suffered a rib injury after I was playing some hockey. And you know what, man? The pizza train just came trucking right back. And so I put on about 10 pounds in the last month that I have now committed in the last 2 weeks to start getting off. So I'm about 3 pounds down from that 10 that I put on. So I'm still doing me, man. I'm still doing my thing. I didn't let it get too out of control, which was a good thing because I could have.
Did you injure your ribs? You injured your ribs during the CCMA hockey game?
I didn't even get to play at the CCMA hockey game, bro. They didn't want none of this smoke. I was ready to go be the ringer for this team, any team. You just put me out there. I'm about to score goals, man. And they didn't even tell me about it. I think they did on purpose.
They're probably just, they didn't want to be shown up. right? Like that's it.
That's what I'm saying, man. They didn't want none of this.
No, that's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man.
Everybody,
How have you been? What's going on with you, man? How have you been?
Good, man.
I want to talk about you for a minute.
You know, watching a lot of Olympics and thinking that I chose the right career path because of all the injuries that everyone gets. All the athletes have been all beat up and. But man, I just love, you know, what I think about when I watch the Olympics, especially this year, is the country is so divided, but for that split second or that 5 seconds or that minute and a half, we're cheering for the same thing. And it's so cool. This year we've needed the Olympics, I feel.
Oh, I completely agree. There's nothing to unite a nation like the Olympics, like all kinds of different kinds of sports and things that we can all, just something we can all rally around, and that there is no debate about it. Mm-hmm. There's no questions asked. This is us, and that's it. There's no politics. There's no this. There's no that. It's just, it's us as a whole.
When it really hit me, JoJo, we were watching the opening ceremonies, and. Mm. All the stuff was going on with the protests and things, and a lot of We Hate Media posts were out there on Facebook, and there was a lot of stuff that I was seeing, and then I was watching the opening ceremonies, and I thought, you know what, all of that is now going away for people, because for the next hour or 10 minutes or whatever, when Team Canada walked in, we were all focused on the same thing, and it was really overwhelming. And I'm an Olympic nerd. I have been since like the early 90s, but like that moment for me, at all that negativity that was out there, and no matter what side you're on, it stopped while Team Canada walked into the stadium. And I thought that was really powerful for me.
Special, man. There's something special about having something that can unite us like that. Right. And not just on one side, on a whole side as an entirety. Right. And I'm with you, man. That's some special stuff. And I think we need more of that.
Yeah.
We need more of that energy, man. I got too much going on in my life to be bombarded with all kinds of that negativity. You know what I mean? We're going through it right now, man. We're going through it right now back here. And it's, I had to go to Ottawa for some family stuff that didn't end up very well. So it was, to hear, that this country is so divided and people are worried about things like that. For me, none of that shit is important. Pardon my language. None of that is important, man. It's not. The last couple of months have really put life to me into perspective, and the people that I want to be around, and the things that I want to do in my life, and the people I want to do it with, whether they believe in left or right or up or down or backwards or forwards. I know the people that are in my corner, and I hate that we are so divided over something so silly. Essentially, we all want the same thing. It's just the way, you know, how it's going about it. It's tough to watch everybody focus on that.
We all just want to go to a JoJo Mason concert with our masks off, singing along and not making our friends sick, right? That's what we
can
want.
Can I get an amen, brother? Can I get an amen?
That's all.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So I gotta ask a little bit, because I know your story about how you got into country music, but I don't know your story. How you got interested in country music. It is Black History Month. And there isn't a lot of black country artists. Unfortunately, it's getting better. Mickey Guyton, rocking the Super Bowl. Jimmy Allen is all over everything. But like, was it hard for you to get behind a genre that, you know, didn't look like you?
I didn't see it like that. I didn't see it as a challenge. I didn't see it as an obstacle. I didn't see it as something that was going to be put in, that was going to be a challenge for me. I thought, Shiloh, I thought that if I put out a great product, no matter what color my skin is, that product should speak for itself. And if it doesn't, then hey, then maybe I don't belong there, right? I've always said this, I don't want any favors. I don't want any opportunities. I don't want to be put on this. I don't want to be put on that because of the color of my skin. I don't want to take use. I want my music. I want that to speak for itself. And a lot of the times I get from people is the other thing I get from people is oh, shoot, he's black. I didn't even know. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, but it's not a bad thing either, right? That means what I've set out to do, and just to have my music as a product be on par with, you know, some of the biggest names. The fact that I get to sit here and I get to see my song sitting on the charts with Morgan Wallen, I get to see my song sitting on the charts with Dierks Bentley, I get to see my Sam Hunt. That in itself speaks volumes of the product that we're putting out there, man. And for me, if I can win that way, hey, I'm all about it, bro. I am all about it. And the fact that I can be, and the fact that I have people like Jimmy Allen, and like I could turn on my TV and see Mickey Guyton slay the anthem at the Super Bowl, and I get to see Jimmy Allen on Dancing with the Stars. To me, that means so much to me because the people that look like me are still doing it. Mm-hmm. There are barriers that I don't know about that they're going through, but their product is incredible, and that to me is what matters, right? That's what matters to me. If I can, I know how I look at Jimmy, and I know how I look at Mickey, and I know how I look at Darius. So if I could be that for some young man or young woman coming up, bro, that's the important stuff to me.
We have the same outlook, and I know we're different, and it's a different conversation. But you know, I've always said that about being blind is that I don't want anything done for me or given to me because I'm blind. I want people to do it for my talents and for who I am. And you echoed a lot of what my beliefs have been for the years, you know, going through it. And you know, we have different struggles, and I'm not trying to compare that, but. I loved your answer because that's a lot of my mentality as well. So Black History Month, when you look at some of the incredible things that we're learning about, I don't remember as a kid learning much about Black history, which is the point. That's why this is wonderful. But just the amazing contributions that have been made over the years. Has there been things that you've learned over the last couple of years that you didn't know?
Yeah, man. I learned this thing that we have in Canada. It's called and Donovan Bailey. I know, you know, you're an Olympic guy, so you know who Donovan Bailey is, right?
Yeah.
He did an interview once the Black Lives Matter thing was happening, the George Floyd murder was happening, and all that stuff. He did an interview, and he said, it's not like it is up here as it is in the States. Up here, we have what I like to call racism with a smile. And for me, what that did and the explanation that he gave, it really put into perspective a lot of the things that I dealt with growing up, right? A lot of things that I may not have been aware of a lot of the things that I grew up with, it was just brought to light for me. I don't know if you're a big Netflix guy, but there's a docuseries on Colin Kaepernick, and it's called Colin in Black and White, and it wasn't about him taking a knee. It wasn't about him, it was about him coming up and his life experiencing life, learning about his blackness. And his ability to be comfortable and understand and have enough education on matters to be able to stand up for himself and when, you know, when things were said, or, you know, quote unquote racism with a smile was happening. And so all of these things that I've learned, man, is has made me understand why people think the way they do. And the fact that we're sitting here talking about it, for me, is a big step. I think that's one of the biggest things I learned is we need to talk about it, because that's the thing. If you don't know about something, we just got to talk about it. And a lot of people are scared to approach people of color and talk about it because they don't want to offend, or they're worried about that they're going to come across as racist or ignorant. And that's a fear for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Brother, I'm telling you, man, I want to talk to people about it.
That was one of the first things I did when the whole Black Lives Matter thing started really becoming a thing in Canada and the US. And I wanted to reach out and I wanted to learn more. And so I just called some friends and I was like, I don't want to say anything until you sort of tell me what is going on right now. And, you know, my biggest question at the end of it for them is, how is this still happening? And how do we as a society not know it's happening as much? Like I think we know more now than we, but like I never would have thought it was as bad as it was.
It's as bad as it was because it wasn't talked about, right? It was, mm-hmm. or it was the way it was for so long and it was accepted. The good thing is now is that the dialogue has started, right? The dialogue has started and it's not going to take a week. It's not going to take a month. It's not going to even take one generation. It's going to take multiple generations. The fact of the matter is, Shiloh, that we get to be part of this history when we're starting to see the change. We're starting to see the shift, right? We're starting to see people become aware of what's really happened or what's going on or what has happened in the past that's led to this, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. Again, like I said, man, the fact that we're talking about it and the dialogue has been open. It's not going to take a minute. It's not going to take a generation. It's going to take multiple generations. But brother, we are part of it. We are part of history. And we get a chance to be that part of history where we get to see the shift in people's brains and the shift in society and the shift in people's minds really, really happen. The questions that are being asked, the answers that are coming that people aren't expecting, the shock and awe factor of things that have happened. It's as sad as it is to see all the stuff that's happening or that has happened it's a beautiful thing that we get to see. We get to be part of this right here, man. I really believe that.
I hope there are some people in the front row at a JoJo Mason concert in the next year, two, five, that then, heaven forbid, I'm still doing this podcast 20 years from now, but that they're, I'm talking to them and they're saying, hey, you know what? Things are better for me. And I grew up watching JoJo Mason and that's a reality. And I hope you carry that with you, not the pressure, but the enjoyment of knowing that could be happening at any show that you're playing.
That's part of the reason why I got into this game, Shiloh. I remember a long time ago, I told you this, man, is if I can touch people's lives with my music, and that I'm a winner, man. I feel like I'm a winner. And the fact that I get to be that for some people is amazing. I hope the same thing, bro. I hope you're still rolling this podcast out. And I hope that in 20 years that you still get to have conversations with people that look like me and they get to be the ones that was at a JoJo Mason's concert, man.
Yeah.
That's my dream come true, baby.
JoJo, we did it. We made it a serious podcast. And
damn it.
I know. And it wasn't about dollar bills. Man.
What?
Thank you very much for this, and I hope we can keep this dialogue going. I was supposed to talk about your new music and stuff and your shows. People can just stop being so lazy and go to your website, because I think we talked about more important things.
I think we talked about a lot of important things, man. And again, whatever happens with this song, I'm just really appreciative of the fact that I still have a career in music after a 2-year hiatus, man. And that's one thing I want people to hear as well is how grateful, not just myself, but I know a ton of artists that are in the same boat as I am and just as grateful to people that have been streaming, you guys that have been spinning it. You guys have been, I feel very grateful, man. All the shit that's going on in my life right now, it's also met with such positivity from you guys. So again, brother, I just want to say thank you to you. Thank you to all the people that are listening to you and all your supporters, all your fans. Brother, I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too. And I'm going to end with some negativity. Just one thing. I the only knock I have on your Broken Umbrella song is it gets stuck in my damn head. I want you to know that I hum it all damn day. So thanks for that.
Hey, man, if that's the worst, I'm cool with it, baby.
JoJo, thank you very much.
Miss you, buddy. Talk soon, all right?
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time. For more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.